the Rob Khan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Now, what's interesting is this story came to our attention yesterday by a person who reached out to us inside the Chicago Fire Department today. Do you know what they're doing to the paramedics in the Chicago Fire Department, which, by the way, are the finest paramedics in any big city fire department anywhere in the world? I would make that argument. And I would make the argument, actually, that the Chicago Fire Department is the greatest big city fire department in the world as well. I know that, you know, with all due respect to all the other cities, and especially FDNY, but the ability of the Chicago Fire Department for tall structures, at one point the tallest in the world, and to deal with house fires and all the rest of the stuff, I mean, it's an amazing organization.
The Air Sea Rescue Group, I spent a lot of time with them, the dive team. They're unbelievable. I've seen them training over and over again, what they can do along our lakefront and how quickly they get there. Amazing.
And to the issue of the paramedics.
Right.
The paramedics, I mean, the murder rate in this city has gone down dramatically since, since the 1970s.
We're at 1990s levels. It's super high right now.
Right. But the death rate, the number of shootings compared to the death rate.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So in terms of saving people, they're doing that
right.
more and more often.
And you say, well, you know, because I remember there was a time in the 1970s into the 80s, it was 800 people a year. And, you know, we get down to 500 people a year and you're like, oh, well, that seems okay. And then we get down to 300 people a year. But the thing is that you've got shooting after shooting. There have been 1,200 shootings, I think, this year so far. Right. And and I think we're at 300 something dead. Now, the rates of that are based a lot on the work of the Chicago Fire Department paramedics, right? I mean, that does not exist in a vacuum. And now you get this story that the Chicago Fire Department paramedics are having some of their gear, their safety gear, taken away from them.
Which just seems wrong. And I don't quite understand what's going on there, what the argument is.
Now, Tom Ryan is with us, and Tom is the union president for Firefighters Union Local 2, Chicago Firefighters Union Local 2. And Tom, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Hello to you both.
And now, Tom, the stuff that they're taking away is stuff that you see firefighters wearing, right?
It's structural firefighting gear. Yes, that's correct.
So it's kind of those big pants and that big jacket.
Yeah, bunker pants, bunker coat. Yes, exactly.
And the self-contained breathing device, right? Breathing
apparatus. That has actually been gone for a while now.
Okay. Now,
and the reason we've been given for that is the fact that, and there is some truth to that, is the fact that the training aspect of SCBA or the self-contained breathing apparatus, there is a certain level of training that someone must have in the state of Illinois to wear that, to use that. And so that issue has been debated for quite some time. And now the second part of the equation is the bunker gear. And that also has a certain amount of training that goes along with it, structural firefighting gear. So there is a debate and obviously some very concerned paramedics. And I will agree with what you both just said. We have the greatest paramedics and firefighters this world has to offer. And that save rate that you spoke about is exactly because of their efforts. They're very, very good at what they do. And there's many people going home to their loved ones after leaving the hospital because of their efforts.
No question about that. But the thing about this, the bunker gear that we're talking about here, I mean, is there an argument that it's too burdensome to carry that on their rigs?
No, I don't honestly believe that that's the argument. The argument that the fire department is making with this is the fact that it's a training aspect, that they are not going into structural fires to affect rescue, and therefore that it is not something, because they're not trained, and it is the ensemble that you're supposed to wear, the firefighting ensemble, is supposed to include SCBA training, SCBA mask with a hood and gloves and everything else. But I'll tell you what, I have spent the better part of the last couple of days talking to some very seasoned paramedics who have raised some real concerns about this. And I will tell you this, I brought it to operations. I also brought it to the commissioner's attention, and we are going to sit down at a joint health and safety committee meeting this Friday to discuss these concerns, and hopefully we can come to some kind of resolution. I think part of the real problem here is the fact that, okay, you're going to take this away from us. What are you going to replace it with? And as of right now, I haven't seen anything. That I know that they've been testing some things, they've been looking at some things, but we haven't seen anything to replace it with, and it just leaves our paramedics wondering, okay, what's next? Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't know what to tell them at this point.
The spokesman for the fire department, Larry Langford, said that this is it's clear that they didn't need this stuff because they are never, and he did use that word, never sent into an area where they would need such gear. Talking to the men and women you are talking with who are paramedics here, are they saying that that's true? Are they feeling as if they need this kind of equipment?
Well, that's a very interesting point, and I'm glad you brought it up, because some of these people did bring up situations where it may not necessarily be a structural firefighting scenario, but there's other things out there. See, our job is incredibly unpredictable, and you cannot always foresee what instances you're going to run into, what emergencies you're going to run into. So, I mean, obviously, we would like to err on the side of safety for all our members, because the safer we are, the better service we can provide.
Can't help us if they can't help themselves, right? I mean, that's
exactly. We don't get there to help,
But let me ask you this, Tom.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to stop because there are a couple circumstances that I thought of, and I get that they're not rushing into a structural fire. Extraction is the job of the firefighters that are, handling whatever that situation is. But there are circumstances where you have structural collapses, where you have, and God forbid, the kind of circumstances that we saw in New York City in 2001, where it's all hands on deck. Everybody has to be able to move into whatever the circumstance is, because you may have to get into a restricted space that requires a helmet, requires, equipment to protect against heat and fire and all the rest of it, where you don't have a choice because you've got to treat somebody on the scene before they're extracted.
Exactly. I mean, that's part of the part of the scenario that I did bring up to operations today, is the fact that, nobody ever thought 20 years ago that someone would fly planes into the World Trade Center. And nobody thought that would happen, but it did. And we are being thrown curveballs every day. I mean, look what happened just recently in Paris and Belgium. We live in a crazy world these days, and we've got to be prepared for all emergencies. And it's my job and the job of the Local 2 Health and Safety Committee and our Vice President in charge of health and safety to do everything we can to make sure that our members are safe. And these are concerns, I think, legitimate concerns that have been brought up by our paramedics, and we have to address them, and we're going to.
Well, address the what you think is going on here, and I'm suspecting there's a cost issue here.
There is. There's certainly a cost issue. I mean, and listen, we understand everybody's under tight budgets these days. We get that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a cost of doing business, and you always want to maximize the use of every dollar. But at what cost is that? I would hate to see us try and now, if there isn't a suitable replacement for what they're taking away, then I certainly have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm. Safety equipment doesn't seem the place to cut.
No. And you know what? Listen, we are called upon to do some pretty dangerous stuff and do it quickly and do it efficiently. And I would put us up against anyone in the world. As I said earlier, it's my job and the job of our committee to make sure that our members are as safe as possibly can be. And that's why, and I applaud the fire department for wanting to sit down and discuss this. But certainly the issues that we have raised over the last couple of days have caught the attention of people from across the country, because I've been contacted by people from Houston and California and so forth. So it's an interesting interesting dilemma that we need to talk out.
It's interesting because in smaller firefighting organizations than is Chicago or New York or L.A. or any of those, you see often the paramedics are dressed as firefighters. They're wearing that firefighter kind of equipment, at least the pants and stuff like that, because they are cross trained. And they're going to be doing, and they're going to be doing other things. And the other, and one other thing I think I should mention here that is important. Chicago has the incredible foresight and luxury, I think, in today's modern world, to have cross-trained a lot of firefighters as EMTs, emergency mm-hmm. medical technicians, which is a different form of life-saving training. But paramedics, to have paramedics, and people think of paramedics and EMTs as the same thing. They are not. Paramedics
are not. No, I'm an EMTB or an EMT basic, and a paramedic is an EMTP, and they have a much higher level of training.
Right, much higher level. The amount of time that they spend, basically, I mean, when paramedics arrive, paramedics are great diagnosticians, especially if they've been on the job for any period of time.
Learn under fire, that's for sure.
Right.
It is
like having, when you have paramedics arriving, you have comparable care that you're going to get in the emergency room. And not to take anything away from EMTs, but EMTs are, you know, they're basically just trying to keep you, to stabilize you as best they can to get you to the hospital. Paramedics
or until the paramedics arrive.
Right. But a lot of towns don't even have paramedics. You know, they may have a couple paramedics on staff and the rest are EMTs. I mean, Chicago, when an ambulance comes out to you, it is most likely going to have a paramedic, especially, you know, that's how you do it, right?
Well, our ambulances have two. All our ambulances in Chicago now have two fully trained paramedics.
And that is a complete luxury in modern America, and it's great to have that. And that's why the life saving, the save rate for Chicago is so great. So, looking at these guys that we have spent so much time and energy training, and you know, keeping in their jobs. To make sure that they have everything that they possibly have around them, but whatever that cost differential does seem to me to make sense. And this came to our attention because we got a number of calls from folks who, you know, work as firefighters and paramedics
about this and their families.
Right. And they're like, whoa. You know, this doesn't make any sense.
Believe me, I fielded those same calls.
Yeah.
I bet.
I've fielded a lot of them. And you know what? I've been copying down and I have, and I've always found that when you have a problem like this, you go to the people that have been around the longest because they've seen the most. Mm-hmm. And then you try and drag as much information as you can out of them. I spent the better part of, as I said, the last couple of days doing that. And we're trying to, put together a step-by-step, or at least a bullet point by bullet point strategy or facts to bolster our case. Yeah. And we're going to see where this goes. So, I mean, as I said earlier, it looks like a lot of the concern is because, okay, if you're going to take this away from us, what are you going to replace it with? And as of right now, we don't know what that is. So
keep us posted, Tom, on what what you learn.
We'll you guys have always been great and always been highly supportive of firefighters and paramedics, and we thank you very much.
All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate
Tom.
It, sir.
You take care.
All right.
Okay,
you too.
Bye now.
President of Local 2 here, Chicago Firefighters Union.
We got a text. I'm a CFD medic. The reason for the improved trauma numbers is the comprehensive trauma system. The city has centralized its resources, and we just get them to the right place in timely fashion.
Yeah,
but
what they're doing,
taking as much credit as he should probably there.
Well, what they're doing on the ground there, though, is unbelievable. And, you know, and the thing is, there's always been a little bit of a fraternal sort of thing between firefighters and cops, right? I mean, there's always been that kind of deal. And a rivalry and
not just the softball games that they play.
No. And you ask cops and firefighters their opinions of the other, and you're going to get, it's going to be a spirited discussion that you're going to have. But the reality is that, you know, cops know, you know, when that Chicago Fire Department ambulance arrives, if a cop is hurt or there's somebody else hurt, they know that they're going to get the best care you're going to get anywhere in the United States of America. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Chicago. I'm not just saying that because we're homers and boosters. It is verifiably true. Anywhere in the, as a matter of fact, in the world, the Chicago Fire Department won an award for being the best in the world, right? So it was like, this is a real system, and these guys really know what they're doing. And there are so many things that don't work in this city that, you know, when we take things away from the systems that do work, mm-hmm. like the Chicago Fire Department, and I would argue the Chicago Police Department, I know we'd get a lot of political pushback on that, but I would argue based on what they are up against, they do a pretty damn good job. You know, taking things away and making it harder for the men and women who are doing those jobs.
Well, like we've talked about raising money for the vests that they wear out every 5 years, and the police officers are responsible for footing the bill for that. So it's there are some things there that, well, they do need your help because they are there for you when you need it.
Now we got to go buy battle pants for...
I guess that's the next thing we'll have to raise money for. I mean, who knew?
For the paramedics. I mean, yeah, who knew we were going to have to do that?
Battle pants.
Whatever they call those things. What do they call those things?
I think they were bunker pants.
Bunker pants, yeah. The same thing.
Big
bunker pants.
Pants,
battle pants.
With the suspenders on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fun.
Worn those because I went to the fire academy, and they're really heavy.
They're heavy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one thing.
Everything's heavy for a firefighter. Everything they have on them. It's like, how do they climb ladders and save people?